beautiful, although not sunny, Sunday. It's coming. The sun will be back. I do have a quick announcement to make before we begin. Linda Peake, the church secretary, her mother passed away yesterday. So you'll hear Betty Klingel's name in the prayers. That's who that is. And if you would, just keep the family in your prayers this week. I invite you to rise as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for our sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
A reading from Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you. That all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. A reading from Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I will be reading the extended version of the Gospel lesson for today. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on that day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, this is the gospel of the Lord.
Seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, for those who may not know me yet, I am Reverend Paul Myers, an ELCA pastor on leave from call in the Northwest Ohio Synod. While I am on leave from call, I am doing chaplaincy work for the Marion Area LGBTQ Coalition. We recently had our Pride picnic at Lincoln Park there in Marion, a time to gather in solidarity, to share a meal and life together in a safe environment. And when I say safe, I mean emotionally safe, or at least as emotionally safe as a group can be with the real threat of protesters or physical altercations always present. But thankfully, there were no incidents, and everyone had a wonderful time. And I remember talking to one lady who was concerned about there not being any kind of local support ministry, support group, for the parents of trans teens and trans kids. She was such a parent and asked if we could start something, get something going in that regard. And of course I said yes. And I gave her my card and said, contact me and we'll talk. But later I was thinking about why no one would have thought of this before. Because the need has obviously been around for a while. And then it hit me that this kind of support group would be a very tense setting because of the real danger of some kind of incident disrupting an already emotionally delicate time for people. And a lot of people just don't want to go there. Our world, and yes, even our town, our small towns, are very homogeneous for the most part. We look around as we go places and do things, and we see people who are mostly like us, whatever that us is for you. So if you're older, you tend to see others who are older as you go about your days. If you're white, you tend to see other people who are white when you do the things you do in groups. If you're gay, you tend to see and meet with others who are gay. That's because we all look for places where we feel comfortable and safe and accepted. That's just human nature, right? We want to belong. And in order to belong, we usually seek groups where it will be easier to belong. Groups who have our beliefs, our values, our ethnic background, and all the other things that make us feel like a group. But Jesus is reminding us in our gospel for today that that thinking is contrary to the kingdom of God. I love the parable that Jesus uses here in the gospel. "We played the flute for you," these children say, "and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." He's comparing his current leadership and institutions and society to a bunch of kids playing around in the streets. Jesus is saying that people expect those around them to behave like they behave. If we play dancing music, we expect you to dance because that's what we do. And if something upsets us and our way of life, we expect you to also be upset by the same things. Isn't that the way society is supposed to work, though? Aren't we supposed to all have the same thoughts and values and beliefs? Well, in most corners of the world, this is the assumption that many people make. We are all supposed to find the same things offensive and the same things worthy of acceptance. And yet, here's Jesus criticizing that very way of thinking. Now, he isn't saying that there should be no commonality between individuals in a group, because that's part of what makes a group cohesive and attractive to others who might want to join the group. But what he is saying is that we shouldn't let our similarities be the alpha and omega of how we think and act as a group. For example, I'm a musician. More specifically, I'm a blues musician. More specifically, I'm a blues bass player. So if anybody needs a bass player, just let me know and we'll do some stuff. But if I only connected and talked with and played with or accepted into my circle of friends other blues bass players, we wouldn't have much fun playing the blues. We wouldn't have much fun. We wouldn't even be able to sound good because we need musicians. We need vocalists. We need guitarists. We need pianists. We need sax players and harmonica players and all of the rest to make good blues music. And not only that, we also need musicians from other genres like jazz or rock or others, to make new ways of making blues music. All of that diversity comes in and makes life better in the musical world. But our world wants the world to be the same. And each faction of this incredibly diverse world seems to want its version of society and values and beliefs and gender and religion to be the same, like theirs. This is sin. When Jesus gives his woes to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, he was naming this sin. They saw the works of God through the miracles of Jesus, and they said, "Well, that's nice, but we like things the way they are, our way. We don't want to repent and turn to your new way of living. We don't want to see the diversity of God's kingdom as good. We just want to continue in our own selfish ways." Rather than turn toward Jesus' offer of new life, a life based in love and dignity and acceptance, they chose to stick to their small town attitudes. "We don't need to change because all that stuff doesn't affect us here. That's all big city stuff." And yet, I have people who want me to start a support group for the parents of trans kids in Mount Gilead and Cardington and Marion. You see, it doesn't matter where we live. If we really want to see, we will see that the diversity of life and thought is all around us. If we really want to see the deeds of God's creative power in our world, we will go looking for them. We will open our eyes and we will see them. We can see them in our schools, in our workplaces, in our parks, in our streets. And when we finally see them all in their beauty and diversity, Jesus offers us a choice. And the reason there's a choice is that when we see God's deeds of creative power that we have perhaps never seen before, we will be convicted in our own spirits, convicted of our own apathy and blindness to the world around us. We will realize that we've been guilty ourselves of small town mentality, of thinking that the struggles and challenges of others are not our problem here. And I'll tell you, it was a burden for me when I realized that I was thinking small town. Once my eyes were opened to the real fear, emotional distress, and exclusion of my gay friends, the exclusion that I was part of perpetrating by my own blindness, I was convicted. But as Paul says, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. For the last verses in this Gospel of Matthew come to us today to lift us. It says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus gives us the most compelling and challenging passage here of love and acceptance. Are you worn out? Are you tired of being like everyone else and having it fail to bring you any peace? Are you burdened by the weight of your apathy and blindness toward those whom you could not see before? Jesus says, "I will give you rest. Come, take that burden, that yoke of small town, it doesn't affect me blindness, off your shoulders, and put on a different yoke, one of reaching out, of loving and seeing your neighbor, of accepting the deeds of creative power which God has done out of love for humanity. In first century Palestine, where Jesus lived and walked, the teacher would have students or disciples, and those disciples would learn the teacher's ways, thoughts, and values, and beliefs, and understanding of the world in order to spread that teacher's school of thought. This learning and spreading was called taking on the yoke of the teacher. We were talking in Sunday school about this. Picture two oxen yoked together with that big hunk of wood right across their shoulders. One of them would be older and more experienced in plowing and would be yoked with a younger one who would follow the more experienced one and learn what it means to do the work and would grow in that knowledge. And then that one would eventually become the experienced one who would then be yoked to another. That's what Jesus means when he says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me." So Jesus is offering his followers and us that new yoke. It is easy, and it isn't that heavy. The yoke that Jesus offers is the new kingdom of God, where diversity is essential, so that we keep looking beyond ourselves toward the other. Specifically, we are called to look to the other whom other people don't see. We are called to be ambassadors for God's kingdom to everyone who is fearful, hidden, hurting, and outside of the small town mentality that society so loves. Jesus offers us a place where love rules, where lives matter, where dignity is paramount, and where all are welcome. God has already accepted every person who lives. Through the cross of Jesus, God has called all people and said, "Come to me." And God is asking us to join in the joy and rest of creating a kingdom where there is always the goal. There is always the goal of love and acceptance. God has given us the kingdom, so let us share it with everyone as generously as God has shared it with us, without condition. God has placed no condition on love. And so we are to learn that through the yoke of Jesus and to teach that to the world who doesn't know it yet. And this is a gift. And for this gift we say thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the Church, those in need, and all of creation. God of the covenant, you call ministers to proclaim your gospel of grace throughout the world. Inspire pastors, deacons, church musicians, and all ministers of your word, especially Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Paul, our presiding minister today, as they carry out your work. Hear us, O God. God of all creation, you reveal your goodness through all you have made, rivers and seas, plants and animals, and endangered species. Prosper the work of conservation organizations, botanical gardens, zoos, and wildlife sanctuaries. Hear us, O God. God of the nations, you desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace. Guide government leaders at all levels, national, state, and local, to work for justice, mercy, and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of compassion, you bring healing to those who are sick, consolation to those who are grieving, and well-being to those who are distraught. Send skilled caregivers to all in need, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Everly, Alice, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna, Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Art, Vong, Mary, Diane, Carol, are homebound in the family of Betty Klingel. Make your presence known among all who suffer. Hear us, O God. God of rejoicing, you have brought us together this day to worship around word and sacrament. Encourage children in their learning and growing, and watch over those who are absent today. Lead us to all places of renewal and refreshment. Hear us, O God. God of all faithfulness, through the witness of the faithful departed, you reveal love in action. Embolden us by their example to build up the beloved community in all the contexts we encounter. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all whom we pray, trusting in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace with one another.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting in his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life. The life of the Father to the Son. The life of the Spirit of our risen Savior. Life in you, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. We will be receiving communion at the rails today. We will have wine in the pottery. Oh, the wine is in the chalice today. Okay. And the grape juice is in the pottery. If you need gluten-free, bring up your bulletin with you. invite you to rise as you're able. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Yeah, we have announcements.
First of all, I'd like to draw your attention to our card center out in the vestibule. I noticed in our bulletin today that Phyllis Giles has a birthday on the end of the month. After visiting her this week, she is bedridden. She has been going through various chemo treatments for 12 years, and at this point, her legs will not hold her up. And she is very disturbed at finding the condition that she is in. And I would just suggest that if you have it in your heart to stop out there, pick up a card, a thinking of you card, or a birthday card, as she has a birthday coming up, and let her know that she hasn't been forgotten. Also, out on the bulletin board over this direction by the fellowship hall, you'll find some small flyers that are dealing with our Chalk Talk lady that is going to be coming. This is a very special event. The Happy Wanderers are providing this opportunity. She is an special artist coming from Pennsylvania. When we visit the Sight and Sounds in Pennsylvania, we always visit her studio. A dynamic person, a very devoted person, and somebody very patriotic. I feel that her story and her presentations are ones that our people in this area could benefit from. So we have made the opportunity available to you. She will be here on Sunday the 13th. She'll also be in the area on the 14th and the 15th. On the back of the flyer is the presentations that she will be making. None of them are duplicated, so that if you wanted to see, if you were enchanted with her once, you might want to be enchanted again. So I invite you to take any of the flyers, share them, put them as a reminder on your refrigerator or please share them. And if you have somebody that you would like to share them with, I have plenty of flyers to go out. When she is here on the 13th, we will have our regular service as usual. It will be followed with a light lunch for anybody that is here that would like to do that in the fellowship hall. And then she will do her presentation here in the nave at noon. So that is her schedule as of right here at this church. But I would ask that if you want a number of these, let me know. I'll be glad to give them to you. It's something that we would just hope the whole community and area will be involved and inspired by. Thank you.
And one quick announcement from me. If you are interested in the Marion Area Coalition that I'm a part of, I have business cards. I have business cards from them, Facebook page, all that kind of stuff. So catch me sometime this week or next week, and I'll get you some information. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John's Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. And now, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.